Hey, check this out.
KPFK Zazzle Store.
It's online now. Take a look at all the new KPFK promo items available.
T-shirts,
water bottles,
coffee mugs,
tote bags.
KPFK Zazzle Store.
It's online now.
KPFK.org.
Now that's a cool way to help support your favorite radio station.
Landmark's Anniversary Classic Series celebrates the 70th anniversary of Laura and the 65th anniversary of White Heat in a double bill of classic 1940s film noir. Nominated for 5 Academy Awards in 1944, directed by Otto Preminger, Laura stars Jean Tierney, Dana Andrews, Judith Anderson, and Oscar nominee Clifton Webb, spinning an offbeat psychological tale of a detective's obsession with a dead woman. White Heat stars James Cagney in one of his most memorable performances as a thug with an unnatural mother fixation. With guest speaker, film historian Alan K. Rode, director of the Film Noir Foundation, Laura and White Heat will screen on Monday, September 29th at 7 p.m. at the Landmark, 10850 West Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles. A limited number of tickets are available to KPFK Film Club members who are invited to call the front desk at 818-985-2711, dial 0 for operator for a pair of tickets. And if you aren't already a Film Club member, please consider joining at kpfk.org.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, 98.7 FM, Santa Barbara, worldwide, kpfk.org. The show is Melting Pot, and we are very happy right now. In our studios is Jungle Fire. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, excellent.
Feeling
very good.
Very good.
All right. You're gonna play actually a set of songs. We're going to throw it over to you for a set of songs, and then we're going to come back and chat about your music and also this brand new record that's getting ready to come out in a couple days. So I'm just going to throw it over to the band right now. You are hearing Jungle Fire right now on KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot.
Thank you.
You just heard Jungle Fire performing live here in our studios at KPFK, playing a series of songs for you guys out there. We're going to have a few of the members put down the instruments and make their way over to the mics to talk with us about this band and about this sound. Just to let you know, the songs that you heard in the order that you heard them, you heard Tropicoso, the title track from the brand new record from the group, Culebro, also Firewalker mixed in with Village Hustle, their version of Fella's song Let's Start, kind of gone through Firpo y sus Caribes, Comencemos, and the ended with a kind of little bit of Ray Barreto and Together, and then Los Filigreses. Most of those tracks featured on the album Tropicoso, and all of them featuring the Jungle Fire sound. So we got a few of the members who are here. First thing we should probably do is just introduce the various band members who are actually here. So let us know who you are and what you play.
Yeah. My name is Joey. I'm playing the bass in the band. Right next to me would be Sam.
And I play drums.
And right next to Sam would be Patty the Snake. That's me on guitar.
And Alberto Lopez on congas.
And then, obviously, we're a bigger band. We all can fit into this part of the interview, but along with us, we had a full horn section, Otto Granillo on trombone, Sean Billings on trumpet, David Moyer on baritone sax, and we had Michael Duffy playing timbal.
All right, so it's kind of like a it's still like a big band and a really big sound, but it was like the smaller version of Jungle Fire and some of tonight.
Slightly
smaller.
We're missing one guitar player. That's Judd McDaniel, and one percussionist, which is Mr. Steve Haney.
But we were fortunate to have Mr. Will Phillips come in and play Shake It with us, too.
Shake.
Could you guys talk a little bit about how this group came together? You've been together for a fairly short period of time now, with a couple of releases on 45, and now this full-length record that's coming out on the 30th, just in a couple days, on Nacional. The name of which is Tropicoso. Could you talk a little bit about just how the band came together?
Yeah. A couple years ago, I just wanted to put a band together for a soul sessions night. I don't know if you remember Soul Sessions at the Grand Star. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to put a band together that would play like these Latin breaks that I've never really heard anyone play live before. We only got to play like I think a song and a half. Pat was there.
That's right. Yeah, we did like maybe two or three tunes
at the most. Yeah. And that was that, and it was cool, and that's all it was supposed to be. And people seemed to be into it, so we threw a couple more dates, and we did a couple more clubs, and we kind of got the right people involved, and that's the rest is history, really.
And with a sound like this, and I think the first time I heard the group was after you'd already recorded Comencemos. I don't know if I think maybe the song kind of came out before the 45, and I'm pretty sure Oliver Wang of Soul Sides was the one who hit me to it and kind of flipped out when I heard it, because as you were saying, it's a sound that you don't hear too often with kind of contemporary kind of funk bands or bands that have this kind of somewhat retro sound. You don't hear a lot of this kind of like really hard Latin funky Afro-Latin funk kind of stuff. And it would seem like a lot of the sound of the group might be connected to either being a big fan of that music from that period of time, kind of late 60s, early 70s, or even being a collector of that music. I was wondering if that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, that was the point about putting the band together was to pay homage to these, to these tunes that, like, don't get a lot of love live, obviously. But the whole thing part, like, the thing about the band is that it is a retro kind of, like, feel. But the thing was I really wanted to fuse that with, especially like hip hop, like I'm a big fan of that. And like, I think with the drums, it's really apparent, we don't have your typical like Afrobeat drums going on behind us, or we don't have just straight Afro-Cuban, percussion behind us. Like it's a good marriage of funk and hip hop along with these guys playing, you know, real heavy Afro, you know, Afro-Caribbean like language on the percussion, and that's where Alberto Lopez comes in.
Yeah, it's we're very inspired by like the sounds of Iraquere, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Where those guys, yes, they were Cuban, but they were inspired by like funk and rock and all this music that was going around in the world. They made their own language, and we kind of, it's not that we're not like super. Like super old, all universe musicians like they were, like Chucho Valdez and Arturo Sandoval. But it's, you know what I'm saying? Those guys are just like legends.
Which is clear the air. We're not trying to be.
We're not trying to be Iraquere. But I think what we feed off of that spirit that they had is like they were just, they were putting together all these elements that were tied together with like the African aspect of all that music. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's Afrobeat, funk, and this Afro-Caribbean stuff is all derivative of African music, but still maintaining this like this inventive, searching quality. You know? So we're just gonna go and be like, we're gonna do the classics how they should be. No, we're still gonna be in that explorative spirit.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I appreciate most about the band as it's kind of moved forward into additional releases and now this full-length record, that it's really clear that you're indebted to that past. But, you know, just as Joey was saying, this sound is not a sound that you would have found in the 1970s. Like, it really is a kind of specific to now kind of post-hip-hop kind of ears, listening back to that music and kind of bringing in this kind of new stuff to it. And I really, even though, you know, you guys were just saying a bit about kind of the philosophy behind the sound, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about it, especially hearing you perform, you know, here in this space. It's really clear that you guys kind of share a musical language, and it even comes down to almost like code words that are connected to older tracks, like, you know, like let's do Libretto, and it connects to like songs from Ray Barreto, or what about the Juan Pablo, and it's Juan Pablo Torres, you know, Algo Nuevo. So it's like, I want just if you could talk a little bit more about how that shared musical language comes together, but to also produce something new with Jungle Fire.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah, because I mean, we, the guys in the band, you know, we all do share a real similar common ground, but we all have, you know, our own influences that we each bring to the table, you know, like each guy, like, you know, Alberto and like the percussionist, you know, Pat and Judd on guitar. I mean, these guys are just probably my favorite guitar players to work with in LA, because they have their own language, you know. And like Sam on the drum, same thing. Like, we all have
established like a common playing field.
Yeah.
Where we would marry like funk, West African music, and Caribbean music, and we would just find threads and then find for ways to express our idiosyncrasies, our personal and collective idiosyncrasies within that playing field. So it was like we set the table and it's like, okay, let's cook something to eat all together. You know what I'm saying? But this is the table. Yeah, lots of spices, lots of good stuff to choose from. But still, like, we chose kind of the ingredients. It's not like let's put in some Northern Indian, like, no, like, you know.
Northern Indian. That's for the next record.
Yeah.
We're going to do pure ragas. Like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with it. I love that. But it's just sort of like, that's not the recipe that we kind of came up for, or like the table that we set. You know, there's space and time for anybody else to do that, you know, so it's great. And they should do that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, and it's clear listening to the recordings now that we have, you know, more recordings from the group, not just hearing you live, but hearing the recordings, that kind of balance between a kind of reverence for the past and, you know, in some cases, and even in some of the original songs, you kind of pick up like a little bit of something else, but it's still kind of changed into something new. That balance for kind of respecting the past and looking back to the past, but also trying to kind of push this music forward as well.
Yeah.
Seems to be a really big part of the group.
Oh yeah, big time. It's, you know, that, like I said, it's we're trying to really like trying to do our own thing with these flavors, you know. Like there's plenty of great Afrobeat bands out right now. which is why we don't do Afrobeat. You know, there will be hints of it, and you'll hear hints of it for sure. But we definitely have a specific Jungle Fire formula that these things fit into.
We're not going to give out that formula, right? We're just keep that secret.
I think we already did.
You know what's funny, though? Like, I feel like our sound, it's in L.A. you have, you know, I guess you could call it like the underground funk, soul, hip-hop, you know, the root down. Like, Breakistro is kind of in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
Orgone, Judd, Joey, and Sam played in a band called Simple Citizen. We kind of, like, come from that background, that real kind of, I guess you could call it throwback. James Brown, Fela Kuti, you know, you mix that with, and then you got Alberto and Michael and Steve that come from kind of a Latin, that whole world around here, and we kind of combine those two. It's kind of a unique thing for LA, I think.
Yeah.
You don't really see that too often.
Yeah, you know? Very true. Yeah. You know, we're blessed here in LA, especially, you know, people who enjoy funky sounds, that there is, you know, not only a really robust kind of club scene with, you know, really top-notch DJs, but there also are quite a few live bands, and they're very concerned with kind of having individual styles, individual sounds.
That's important. That's the most important thing, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody, it's sort of like what hip-hop and all this great music was back in the day, is it was a crime to sound like somebody else.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, that's, you're biting off of so-and-so. It's like everybody, everybody was striving to come up with their own sound.
Right, yeah.
I love that about what's going on here in L.A.
Yeah, totally. And that was what was a big focus, too, is like, we really want to do something specific, you know, and I think we're getting there, you know, like the sound is definitely coming together, and it's getting there, because being an instrumental band too, it's really hard to have your own voice, you know, like a lot of the time bands, you have singers have their own personalities, and that defines the band. When you're instrumental, it's like, okay, what defines the band, you know, like what sound hones in on it. It's really hard to, you know, to be an instrumental group and define yourself, where if you hear a track, you're like, that's Jungle Fire. So that, again, was, you know, that's one of the big goals of the band right now.
Michael Duffy, the timbales player.
Timbales player, yes.
Yeah.
Has joined us in the interview. What was, especially in thinking about some of the things we were just talking about and some of the challenges of being an instrumental band, kind of messing around with some of these sounds, what was the process like getting together the tracks for the record? Because the first thing that I really noticed when I finally got the full track list for the record and was able to look at the credits and all that is that the vast majority of the songs on the record, or the 11 tracks on the record, are originals as opposed to covers, which in some ways I was kind of surprised, but not entirely surprised. And so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about, you know, the process of actually putting this record together, and the kind of choices you made in terms of the kind of sounds you wanted to get out there, you know, to represent Jungle Fire.
I don't know. It was a very democratic thing, right? I mean, we all kind of put our two cents in, you know. It's not like one or two people dictating what we're going to do. It's like we all somehow found a common ground with that.
Well, what's interesting about actually the record is that, you know, four of the tunes have already been previously released that we had on, you know, the singles. Those four songs were very specific in that we kind of had we already had the idea there, and we just basically came together, put it together, and recorded it. Whereas the rest of the album, like Pat was saying, was a group effort. You know, like, that's when you hear a lot more of our individual voices, you know, when you hear these songs. Like, you know, like Firewalker, Village Hustle, definitely on, like, the Afro Disco tip, you know, we explored that direction.
Snake Pit.
Oh, man, Snake Pit, that's another tune. We hardly ever play live because it is a slower tune, but it was nice to kind of explore that
psychedelic
cha-cha
dub.
It's like 10 things melded together.
Yeah, it's
right.
Got a little Jamaica, a little Cuba.
Yeah.
A little Los Angeles in there too.
It's that West Coast thing.
Yeah. So
So
that really was it. I mean, like the record. I'd say 60% of the record was that's us as a collective unit. That's what you get to hear. You know,
and were the additional originals, were those songs that you guys had been working live shows, or was it stuff that you actually like got together specifically for the record?
No, they just, you know, it's just to broaden the live show. Like our live show was really like 100% covers in the beginning, and then so gradually as we came together and started writing, you know, we start to knock that down. And it is great to have covers. I mean, that is a big inspiration for the band. But at the same time, it's great to, you know, to write original music.
You know what's good, though? Like, a handful of tunes on the record. We did a week and a half tour in the UK at the end of last year. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of those tunes we put together kind of around, right before that tour.
Yeah.
And it was really great because we got a chance to really try them out on crowds there and, like, really refine them. And then we came home. We recorded them, like, a month after that.
Yeah.
You know, it was like we got to see what people responded to, you know.
Yeah. We weren't really writing for a record. We were just writing. And then when the idea was to, hey, we're only a couple songs short of actually doing a record, let's just do it, you know. So
let's just put it together.
Yeah.
So all the cards fell in line. Yeah, Chanel came around. Everything just kind of came at the right time for us to do that.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Now, you just finished this record. Record's getting ready to come out. In a couple days here in mm-hmm. September. I would imagine, though, that you're probably still thinking about potentially other projects or other things for the future. One of the things in thinking about it with an instrumental band like this, is there any idea to either bring in vocalists or to potentially kind of work with vocalists, like to be almost kind of like a backing band for vocalists to give them – like give them the Jungle Fire sound or anything like that?
It's already been happening.
Yeah.
Allensworth.
Yeah, no, we are, like, I definitely think of us primarily as an instrumental band, but we've done a few things with Jamie Allensworth, who's this incredible soul singer out here, man. I mean, he's killing it. So we definitely are planning to release some stuff with him. Mm-hmm. It would be nice, and then reach out to, you know, it would be fun to, like you said, lend our voice and have a singer on top of it. So, yeah, I mean, future.
Yeah, we have some stuff marinating, but
yeah.
It's also like, I don't know, we'll let you know when it comes
out. Do you think you'll be in the know?
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be where you kind of keep the project separate, like there is kind of like a distinct voice for Jungle Fire, and that's what ends up on the records that have the name of the group, and then you kind of lend your voice to others.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you work
as opposed to having a vocalist join Jungle Fire.
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean? That's where we'd be, because our sound instrumentally is so big and it's so it's just ferocious sound. You can't put a singer on top of that, you know. But
ferocious, I like that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when we work with these, we definitely dial it back and we kind of meet in the middle. Like we see what they do, and we still do you know, our thing, but we definitely
have to carve out a space for the singer.
Exactly.
You basically got to have the chops to, you know, sing on top of us.
Right? We're ferocious.
You really got to bring it.
Ferocious. I love it.
Bring it. So no, good. Just
so
kidding.
Good. So there are a couple things that are coming up on the horizon in addition to the record that's just now coming out. You guys are getting ready to leave to go and play in Colombia. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's going on with that?
We got invited by the Mompós Jazz Festival. Mompós is the hometown of a very famous folklore singer from Colombia, Totó la Momposina. Mm-hmm. And it's like a colonial town. It's actually a town that's in an island in the middle of a river. You can't drive there.
Wow.
You have to go either by small plane or by boat, small boat. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, serendipitous how it just, I don't know, I just met like somebody within the organizing committee for the state where the town is from.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, man, I really love that song. I showed one of the Jungle Fire song in the talk that I gave. And it's like, really love that song. Will you guys be down to like travel to Colombia? It's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, like they're going to call. And lo and behold.
Yeah.
And it's a really exciting. It's the third edition of a new jazz festival. It's totally state sponsored. It's really cool. There's going to be bands from New Orleans, from Colombia, from LA, us, you know. It's a really cool thing. And we're going to go for the weekend of the 3rd and 4th of October.
Okay, and then when you come back, there's the the big Nacional Records soiree thing that
if
you
we make
guys
it,
are going
to. If we make it back to Columbia. Yeah. We might end up staying down there.
So what happened to Quantic.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you know.
That would be an interesting marriage.
I've been telling these guys because that's like one of the big PR campaigns is going on in Colombia. Mm-hmm. It's like the only danger of going there is not wanting to come back.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if the experience adds a bit more muscle to the sound of Jungle Fire.
Yeah. Definitely,
for sure.
Well, the thing is, I was going to say that a lot of the rhythms that are are inspired.
Yeah, a couple of the songs that we have on the record, like Chalupa and Tropicoso, use rhythms that come from that area in Colombia. They're inspired by those rhythms.
And like so that specific region that we're going to for this trip.
So it's going to be amazing. We even have like some workshops and some like jam sessions planned for during the day before the festival to like create that bridge between the cultures and the countries and so on. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Very, very cool. What are there, I mean, you sort of said that there might be other things on the horizon, but I wonder just in hearing you talk about this specific trip, whether or not you guys are thinking further ahead about, kind of what's next for Jungle Fire.
Yeah, I mean, another big, I guess one of the big points of this band, about us doing what we do is doing the international circuit. We really like when we got to go to the UK, and it's really fun to bring our sound, which is very much LA, it's very much what we do here, to different countries, because they don't get to see these kinds of melting pots. It's what it is. People are bugging out in Europe because it was like, especially the UK, because they don't have those flavors, or they don't have bands that tie together what we do. And so it'd be really, really fun to be able to, share it with the rest of the world. And we going to Colombia, just going to the places that really did it, they inspired the music that we're doing. I think we can all agree that would be, one thing.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Mompox is one of these magical places. It's like it's a town that inspired a lot of Gabriel García Márquez's stories and stuff like that. It's like just like, where magic realism is the way to the status quo.
Yes, it'll be very interesting to see what you guys bring back.
Yeah,
if you make it back,
somebody's bringing back a wife.
that might be a pretty nice thing to find in Colombia as well. So we again just really thankful for you guys coming in. We tried to set some stuff up in the past, and especially with a big band like this, sometimes it's kind of difficult to get all the different pieces in here. And really appreciate you guys taking the time, coming in, playing all these songs for us, and also sitting down and chatting with us today. Just again, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, pleasure, man. We love to do it, and I think it actually worked out perfectly that we could do it now, versus before. So this is, we're excited to be here.
All right. Let's close up with a song from this record. Once again, the debut full-length record from Jungle Fire is going to be released on September 30th through Nacional Records. The name of the album is Tropicoso. The song we're going to play right now is Snake Pit. You heard them talking about this track a little bit earlier, and we'll play it for you right now on KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot. We'll be right back. Oh, and I should mention I do have tickets for the Supersonico show, a cultural happening. It's going on Saturday, October 11th, starting at 3 o'clock and goes all through the night over at the Shrine in Los Angeles. And just incredible bands, Café Tacuba, Calle 13, Bostich and Fossible, Ana Tijoux is going to be there, Bomba Estéreo, La Santa Cecilia, who else? Oh, man. Mexican Institute of Sound, Los Macuanos, just lots and lots and lots of groups, and also Jungle Fire. 818-985-5735 is the number to call if you want tickets to the Supersonico cultural happening going on Saturday, October 11th at the Shrine, featuring Jungle Fire, as well as Café Tacuba, Calle 13, Ana Tijoux, and many, many, many others. 818-985-5735. All right, so not a lot of music to play after Jungle Fire, but just one song, some Juan Pablo Torres y Algo Nuevo. Son a Proposición, the name of the track from his record Super Son, released in Cuba, I want to say in 1974. I wasn't able to figure out which exact song they were talking about during the performance when they used that Juan Pablo reference. So the trumpet player wasn't ready for it. Trombone player. But hopefully I'll figure that out, and I'm sure they appreciated that one. You also heard Snake Pit from the record Tropicoso, which comes out in a couple days. And big thanks to the guys from Jungle Fire for coming in. Big thanks to Nancy Arteaga for helping set things up. And also big thanks to Stan Mizrahi for doing the sound. That'll be archived on our website tomorrow. Pretty much caught up with everything. All the shows are there. This one will be there tomorrow as well, meltingpotblog.com. We are going to be taking a little bit of a hiatus through most of October, but we will be back, and we will have all kinds of stories to tell and all kinds of music to share. So I'll see you when I see you. Until next time, folk scenes up next. Y'all take care.